We're
just
good
going
to
to get
go.
the notes to borrow. He's gonna... There you go. Thank you.
Can I have can I have permission from the Rav and the group to eat while I join?
Please, please eat as much as you can.
Thanks, Tully.
Okay, Tully, are we off?
We're on.
Okay, we're on. So, we've missed each other for a long time. I didn't get managed to say Kasiva Chasima Tova. I didn't even manage to say Gamar Chasima Tova to everyone over here. But all the wishes were there, and the tefillahs were there for everybody during the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We're having tonight a shir, which seems to be a connection of everything that's going around in our lives that we've been dealing with at the moment. As I told Tully, this subject is going to cover Din Malchus HaDinah, going to touch on Yom HaDin, which we've come across, and we're still in the Parsha of May Rachamim now, Din of Rachamim in the now, and also to do with Corona in a certain fashion, Din Malchus HaDinah. So let's revisit a subject which we did touch on slightly in Din Malchus HaDinah. We had a share about it. We didn't go into great detail at it. We'll go a bit more detail and see where it develops. It's about this special halacha in Din Malchus HaDinah that allows a Talmud Chacham to be different in respect to his tax obligation. Somehow he's got a different halachic din. So let's see the first Maror Mokum on our page, which the Chazon Ish defines. Why is a Talmud Chacham? What special reasoning is there by Talmud Chacham that he seems to be different in his tax burden from the rest of the public? So the Chazon Ish says, Motzu Chachomim Shatura Potrusim. The Chachomim found that the Torah releases the Talmud Chacham from paying the taxes. Kiven, now he's giving the reasoning. Kiven she'enon mishtadlim asogas amon mishul asokim b'terem. They don't really get involved in trying to gather any money because they're very busy in another ASIC, not business, called Torah. They're very busy in Torah. They don't really have much time, and they're not interested really in their life for pursuit of monetary collection. Therefore, since that's their life, the life is the Torah life, and that's what they're involved in, not in support. Ain little mohem momen bishul mas. Therefore, the Torah didn't want the community to take any money from them for payment of any collection of tax. Tax, community tax, a tax that's collected for community benefits should not be imposed on the Chochomim because they're not there in this world. Well, they're not designating a life in pursuit of gaining money. They're in pursuit of gaining Torah. So it seems to be, pastures what the Chazon Ish is telling us, the reason why the Talmud Chacham is released from taxes is because he seems to have a bit of a higher status. We give him a benefit because of what he's done to his life, where he's decided to designate his life. So the Torah life, and not pursue money, okay, that's what you want to do. We give you a pedestal. Because of that, you not have to be involved in the tax burden. Okay, that seems to be the reasoning which the Chazon Ish gives for this special dispensation to the Talmud Chacham. Now, let us analyze whether this is uniformly accepted as being the shot in the Talmud Chacham. Seems to be saying, Talmud Chacham doesn't need to pay anything, be involved in anything that's communal costs. That's the Chazon Ish. Now let's go to Rabbi Eliashiv. Rabbi Eliashiv was asked a question. What did he ask? He said, look, we know it says in the Gemara, in Shulchan Aruch, that Talmud Chacham doesn't have to pay taxes, he doesn't have to worry about setting up protection and walls around cities and paying for it because he doesn't really need it. The Talmud Chacham doesn't really need it because he's got Torah. Yeah, fine. So what about if he happens to be in a border town? The Talmud Chacham lives in a border town. And in this border town, they take turns, type of Miluim, they take turns on going and making a security rota. Who's going to go around tonight protecting the town from intrusions from the border? And does the Talmud Chacham have to be partake of that? Or do we say, look, he doesn't have to pay taxes because he doesn't really need the Shmira because he's a Talmud Chacham, and Talmud Chacham don't need Shmira from protection forces and walls like that. So also he doesn't need the Shmira, so he doesn't need to get involved. So they asked that to Rabbi Yashiv, and Rabbi Yashiv answered the following halacha, nearly, she'ena paturim, they're not released, they have to make they have to take their turn in going around the border. The Mashkos HaHachar Umar, that says in the Gemara, that's when we say, you're putting up a security system, you need to pay money to put up that security system to protect your monetary interests. But when we're talking about Pekoch Nefesh issues, that you need protection force to protect life, then that's not a release by the Talmud Chacham. So Rabban told him, why is the Talmud Chacham normally released? Because he doesn't need the wall to protect his money. Ach, but we're talking about border towns. The whole idea is you need protection from the murderers, which are potentially out there. The Talmud Chacham can't say in that situation, I don't need it, and since and the others should do it, because he can't say I don't need it. He can only say I don't need it when it comes to protecting money. But it's talking about protecting life that he can't say I don't need. It seems to be, if we take what Rashi is saying, it seems to be he's looking at this Talmud Chacham release of taxes in a different fashion from how the Chazon Ish is saying it. The Chazon Ish is saying, I don't care whether the Talmud Chacham needs it or doesn't need it. The Talmud Chacham, since he's designating his life to a cause of Torah, we give him a pedestal. You don't have to pay the community tax. Even if you're going to use it and get benefit of it, you don't need to pay. Doesn't need to pay because you're a different level. That seems to be the Chazon Ish's idea of what's special about Talmud Chacham. When it comes to Rebbe Yashiv, he seems to be saying, Talmud Chacham was released because he's a Talmud Chacham. And what's special about Talmud Chacham? Talmud Chacham can say, look, you need the tax. Why do you need tax? For security. I don't need security. Hashem is my security. So why should I pay for something I don't need? I don't need security, so I don't need to pay. So therefore, okay, says Rabbi Yashiv, very good. That's the reasoning why he doesn't have to pay for the walls. If the walls are coming to protect money, so Taka Talmud Chacham is protected from Hashem, and he doesn't need the walls for monetary reasons. But if you're talking about Pekach Nefesh issues, you need protection for Pekach Nefesh, Talmud Chacham needs it, the protection, just as much as everybody else, and therefore he can't have the release, because the whole release was, I don't need it. Here he definitely needs it. That seems to be what Rabbi Yashiv is understanding by the Talmud Chacham. A different way of looking about what's special about this Talmud Chacham. Seems to be two Peshatim. Is Talmud Chacham special? Is because he's special, different type, we release him, even though he should pay, he's released. Or it's attached to Talmud Chacham, he doesn't need it, and therefore it's not a release. He just doesn't need the protection. But when it comes to life and death, then he does need, and therefore he does need it. So to be machlokes. Therefore, what would we say the Chazon Ish held in the border town issue? Would we say that the Chazon Ish would argue or agree, Rabbi Yashiv, that you would have to contribute to the protection in the border town or not with the Talmud Chacham? What would the Chazon Ish really in Rabbi Yashiv Shaila, what should the Chazon Ish answer in such a case?
Not agree.
He should not agree. He should say, he needs it. But he, okay, the release is not that he doesn't need it. He taka needs it, but the release is, even though he needs it, he doesn't need to pay. So he needs it as well. He needs it in the border town. Fine, but he still doesn't need to pay. That seems to be what the Chazon should say. So you should have now a total machlokas over this. Now, if so, that should be the machlokas. So therefore, we're going to maybe get an answer to this. It says, what should be therefore the duty on the face of things? What should be the duty of a Talmid Chacham paying income tax in Eretz Yisrael? What should be the duty of a Talmid Chacham paying interest income tax in Eretz Yisrael? Where, remember, the majority of the budget is going to go to the defense budget. What should we actually say should be the result based on these two ways of looking at this special understanding of the Talmud Chacham? What should we say the opinion of the Chazon Ish should be, and what should be the opinion of Rabbi Yashid in such a case? Paying income tax for majority going to the defense budget in Eretz Yisrael presently. What we would say?
According to Rabbi Yashid, you would need to pay because it's going towards defense in their own pikuach nefesh. And according to Chazon Ish, you wouldn't.
Correct. That's the pastor's simple way of saying how we would say that would be the situation if we're stopping over here. Seems to be a machlokas whether the Ikerdin, does the Talmid Chacham have to pay this income tax, which is going for protection of life? And the Yashu says, life? Of course, life. He always needs to pay. He only gets released from monetary protection. This is not life. He always has to pay. He always needs it. And Skatsu says, yeah, he always needs something, but he's always released from everything he needs. He's also released because he's special. So it should be also in contact. Right? You should be have to not pay it in the eyes of the Chazon. That's simple where we would hold at this stage. Yes, Tuli.
It's possible that the Chazon would really agree to Rabbi Yashiv. I mean, maybe he's explaining why there's a patur. The Chazon says the reason for patur is the special status of what he's doing. He doesn't get into details as to what type of mas he's patur from. Maybe in a Hanami, he meant a regular mas for services. But if you were talking about defense, pikuach nefesh, I would agree that he's not patur from that.
You could, but you could say that he argues, meaning if the reason by the Chazon Ish is nothing to do with whether he needs it or not, it's to do with he is designating his life to such a cause which we want to help by taking burdens of monetary burdens called tax away from him. So therefore, really, I don't care whether he needs it, doesn't need it. I just want to give him a boost over here. No community involvement of tax, even whether you need it or not. So the logic behind the Chazon Ish will determine that really, it shouldn't really make a difference if it's a border town, not border town, pekach nefesh, not pekach nefesh, because the logic should stay. You could say, for other reasons, maybe he'll agree, but it's not the reasoning of the Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv clearly seems to say is that monetary things he doesn't need, pekach nefesh he needs. That's not the logic which the Chazon Ish is saying. Therefore, in simplistic form, we would want to say, okay, Chazon Ish release across the board because it's nothing to do with your needs. And Rabbi Yashiv says anything to pekach nefesh, since you need, you do need to pay, could be therefore machlokas at this stage income tax. Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Of course, you can ask him a question.
Okay. Whoop, lost you. You there?
I'm still here. I can hear you.
Okay. The question I have on the Chazon Ish, and I'm a little confused here, is that we know that a bride and a groom, in case of an attack by enemies, and there's a war, which is pikuach nefesh, let's cut it there, even though they're in a special status at that point, she's a queen, he's a king, or whatever the special status is, they're still obligated to respond to a situation where there
is... Okay, so you're bringing an interesting point. You may touch on it. Agav, you say, yeah, you're talking about a case where there's a particular mitzvah involved, mechomas mitzvah. Not Mechomas Rishus and such a thing. There's a difference between Mechomas Mitzvah and Mechomas Rishus in your particular halacha in Chosen Bekala, whether they have to be involved in army service in a vault of war. Mechomas Mitzvah, they do. Mechomas Rishus, not. Okay, so therefore, maybe that will make Chilukim also. Okay, but we're not getting at that stage whether to define whether this is constantly a Mitzvah or Rishus, how to define Mitzvah Rishus. Okay, well, it's a good point, but something to bear in mind.
Well, also a question. Can I ask a question also?
Of course,
the chordis doesn't apply, let's say, in chutz la'aretz by dinin v'chusadina. The king still has the right to throw somebody out. The Talmud Chacham, he says, look, these are my conditions. You're a banim, say you're pater, you don't need it. The chord that doesn't override dinin v'chusadina.
It does override dinin v'chusadina, because what we're saying over here is dinin v'chusadina of collecting tax is a halakhic notification, is that the law we recognize as halakhically binding. If you don't do it, you're over an issa called halacha, not because of dimach. Dimach creates issum. So we're saying Talmud Chacham, when he's not chayv to pay the tax, whoever you hold like Chazanish and his reasoning, or the Rabbi Yashiv, whenever the tax is not applicable, okay, so the tax is not applicable means halacha says tax doesn't need to be paid from this Talmud Chacham. It means halacha won't recognize dimach as a dinner of putting halachic burden. So therefore, Me'ikah din halacha will say he doesn't need to pay. Maybe he should pay because of Chilah Hashem, for other reasons, even though halachic monetary reasons he wouldn't be mechuyav. That's different things. But in chutz la'aretz, he'll be potter if in the cases where you're potter. In Chazanish cases, you're potter. And Rabbi Yashiv's cases, you'll be potter. You would be potter even in chutz la'aretz. Overrides din mechuyav. Because what din mechuyav means, we don't recognize it as halachically a burden on the halachic monetary burden on the Talmud Chacham. Maybe. Chilah Hashem, that's it, not that you're there. Okay, that's the halachas of Chilah Hashem in Chutz La'aretz as well, which is not we're going to discuss. It's a kosher mishpat shir. Now, let's move forward. So we seem to be having a machlokas over here. So let's now go to a shayla, Ma'aseh Shehoyah. I don't know if I mentioned this once before. Time has passed. I don't know if I mentioned this case to you. But Ma'aseh Shehoyah, shayla like this. There was... people moved into a new area, like I'm not saying this is where it happened, like in Dalet, Gimel Shtayim, or Mishkan Fa'im, or Mem Shalosh, wherever, new area, Gimel Shtayim. Yeah, there's, and when you move, one of the first pioneers in these areas, obviously your main neighbors around you are the Arab population, who are also probably the majority if you're one of the first pioneers in these type of new areas. Now, when you are the minority in such areas, there is a high events of genevas that take place. I remember when I first came to Aleph, I was quite early stage, and there was lots of genevas taking place at that stage of the initial move-in stage. So therefore, move-in, high genevas, even though we don't normally have like we don't have now, every building in Aleph doesn't have a security system like that. Yeah. But these beginning areas, they want to build, they want to put security systems in, they want to have set up high security to protect themselves from these genevas which are going to be taking place. So fine. So of course, they're going to, it's something which is mechuyev, misad, hilchus shenim, that you have to put in because that's the area you're living in. Okay. Question is, it's a community charge of the building. In this particular case, there was one of the members of the building was the rabbi of the shul. Okay, he was the rabbi of the shul. And he didn't come and ask the question because he's not the type of person. He's a rabbi of the shul for a reason. Yeah, the rabbi of the shul. So he didn't come. But the father bias asked the question and saying that, no, we've got the rav in our building. Maybe, I know, I've learned a halacha. Talmud Chacham and potter from community tax. So anyway, so you should be potter, you should pay, and he should have to dish himself out to also pay for the cameras as well. Yeah, that's the shayla that arose. So yeah, so it came to Beis Din, and the shayla was that the Rav was saying, I want to pay. It's something we need in this area. Something I want as well. Something I want is security here. And we have, on the other side, the Vadabai saying, we don't want him to pay. He's a Talmud Chacham. So therefore, it's one of those beautiful dinteras where everyone's really trying to argue the other person's opinion, which is the best dinter. So what's Halacha say in such a case? Halacha, is that Talmud Chacham chayv to pay or not chayv to pay? So on the face of things, what would we say based on what we've heard from Rabbi Yashiv, what we heard from Chazanish, of the duties of Talmud Chacham in community taxes and community obligations? Would the Talmud Chacham have to pay under these circumstances? We would say, what would we say in such a case?
Rabbi Yashiv would say chayv and Chazanish would say pater.
Yeah, you speak it out properly, let's speak it out. Rabbi Yashiv says, what he needs, he pays. What he doesn't need, he doesn't pay. Okay, the Talmud Chacham says he needs it. So, okay, so even though it's not Pekach Neshiv, but he's saying he needs it. Okay, so he has to pay. And according to Chazon Ish, doesn't matter what he needs. He's released. So it should be based on that. So Rabbi Yashiv brought actually a raya to his opinion from the Radvaz. And a Radvaz, which you're going to see now in number two, base over here. This Radvaz is actually talking about a very similar case to Ashayla and Basedin. Does they need to collect money for security in Yerushalayim, and they want to know whether the Talmud Chacham has to pay. The Talmud Chacham would like the security. Does he have to pay? So according to Rabbi Yashiv, yes. According to Chazon Ish, what does the Radvaz say? So the Radvaz says the following things: Im heimotim to boina tirasa. If the Talmud Chacham agrees he needs the protection, the Sokin Loma Tamida Sherman, and he shouts out, let's bring the security force in. Hadova Bora Etzli is poshet for me to chive in the Simon. For sure, the Talmud Chacham has to pay. The Hadas Bal Degreizim, because he agrees you need it. He agrees you need it. He wants it. He has to pay. Now, very good. That's a beautiful psak. And Halacha would say, in our case of the Vadabais, the Rav has to pay because he wants it. He says, I need it. So, but the problem is, what's the Chazon Ish going to do with this Radvaz? It doesn't fit with the Chazon Ish. We've got a kasha on the Chazon Ish from a Radvaz. A Radvaz is a beautiful riot to Rabbi Yashiv. It's such a great riot from Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv actually quoted this Radvaz for his Pesach in the base on the Shiloh of the border town. He brought this as a proof from the Radvaz that whenever he needs something, he has to pay. Doesn't fit with the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish says it's nothing to do with needing or not needing. Even if you don't need, you don't need to pay. Kasha on the Chazon Ish from this Radvaz. What are we going to do with the Radvaz for the Chazon Ish? That's the question. So, we'll give it a few seconds for anyone to suggest a possible answer. How's a Chazon Ish going to understand this Radvaz that it won't be a question on his shitta? Remember, the Chazon Ish says, doesn't matter if it needs, doesn't need. He's released, he's a Talmud Chacham. And here he's saying, Radvaz says, look, he says he needs it. So that if you have to pay, so it seems to be if you need it, you pay. That's like Rabbi Yashiv, not the Chazon Ish. Yes, Tuli.
Yeah, so the Radvaz said specifically that the Talmud Chacham said he wants the security, and he admits that he needs security. So Chazon Ish is talking in general. Is a tour that exists for Talmud Chacham. In Achanam, if he on his own says, no, I want this, and then he wants to pay for it, b'vakasha.
Why should it make a difference? Why should that make a difference?
Because
if the logic of the Chazon Ish says, he's a Talmud Chacham. Even things he needs, he doesn't need to pay. We want to give him this security.
A ptur is not an iser. A ptur is an exemption. You still have a right to pay it.
Okay, but we should say he's chayv to pay. And the Radvaz says he's chayv to pay. And the Rabbi Yashiv says he's chayv to pay. We should say, look, if you want to pay, you pay. Of course, if you want to pay, you can pay. Up to you. If you want to do, then pay. Fine. He's chayv to pay.
There are circumstances where your admission is not going to be accepted by the court. For example, you can't testify against yourself.
Correct.
And therefore, the Chazon Ish probably would argue that we don't listen to the Rav. He has that status, and that's the end.
Yeah, he should say that. He should say, but he's got the Radvaz saying clearly we actually listen to the Rav and make him chayav. So it's a kasha on the Radvaz, from the Radvaz on the Chazon Ish. So here we're going to see an amazing pishat from the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish, in a few words, answers this question up. Let's go to number three straight away, and you'll see from his words. In those words, it answers up the Ravaz's the question we have from the Ravaz and the Chazon Ish. Motzu Chacham, number three. Motzu Chacham, she'ein litzel mehem neturusa. We know they don't need to pay for security. Talmud Chacham. V'achon she'ba'em les teres magin olem, because the Torah protects them. Okay. V'ein anosem tachas mikri teva. They're not underneath teva rules. They're different, sharply on them. They're different. Ki hashkochos yisprochu lefi midas habatochem, because the hashkocha that Hashem gives, protection Hashem gives to people, is according to related to the betochen which that person puts in Hashem. So other mashiv yahavo albera potter in the mas. Talmud Chacham puts all his faith in Hashem. Then Hashem says, you don't need to pay for the wall because I'll look after you because you are trusting me. You trust me, therefore I'll look after you. You don't need a wall. You're potter from paying the tax. So what's the Chazanist saying over here, which will open up and get rid of the kasha we had from the Radvaz? What's the Chazon Ish actually madir over here in his few words, beautiful words over there, that he's saying, a chazon, the Talmud Chacham, why is he part? He's not just a gzeres hakosev, pure Talmud Chacham, don't pay. It's a certain logic there, he's saying. What's he adding over there?
He's saying he doesn't need it.
He doesn't. Why? Why doesn't he need it?
When he has bitachon. Only when he has bitachon.
The higher level of bitachon.
Bitachon.
Oh,
he has bitachon in Hashem. Hashem says, you got bitachon on me? You don't need protection. I'll look after you. No, you're part of paying the tax.
No, I don't. I think what he was saying is that automatically part of your status as a Talmud Chacham, it's a given that you have.
So, at face value, you say, well, he's conflicted with his own opinion. Before he said, it doesn't make a difference whether he needs it or doesn't need it, he's released. That sounds like a Chazanish saying, Talmud Chacham, different pedestal. That even if he needs things, he doesn't need to pay. Now, Chazanish seems to be saying, he doesn't need it because Hashem looks after him, which sounds like very much like Rabbi Yashiv. So the answer is good for what Rabbi Nachman just said. What the Chazon Ish is saying is, because a Talmud Chacham, one of his character, one of the things that make him a Talmud Chacham is, for this purpose, not obviously for all halakhos, but for this purpose, Talmud Chacham is released from tax. Why? Because one of the characteristics of Talmud Chacham is to have faith in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Betochen Hashem, okay? If you have betochen Hashem, and that's who all your betochen is, you qualify to be called a Talmud Chacham. Now you're qualified to be in the category of Talmud Chacham. We give you a dispensation, release from tax. Release from tax, don't need to pay for the Shmira and anything. Yeah, because you have betochen in me. So therefore, if you find a case where you've got a Talmud Chacham who says, I need the physical protection of this wall to feel safe, does he then qualify to be a Talmud Chacham according to this definition of a Talmud Chacham? Talmud Chacham, to get the pedestal of release from taxes, is faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the Talmud Chacham comes on and he says himself that I need the physical walls and the security force to help me out, does he then qualify to be called a Talmud Chacham for the release of tax purposes, according to the Chazon Ish, what we would say?
No.
He wouldn't be released in such a case. So therefore, that's what the Ravad says. Hodas Baldin, from the fact that Talmud Chacham says, I need it, that's a Hodas Baldin, he's no longer qualified to be called a Talmud Chacham to get the dispensation of tax release in such a case. So therefore, straight away, we'll finish off over here. Finish off this case, the Vadabai's case. Not only according to Rabbi Yashiv does the Rav have to pay for the security system because he needs it, but even according to the Chazon Ish, he needs to pay for the security system because he's not a Talmud Chacham for this halacha. Because he says, I need the security to protect me. Therefore, he said, okay, you don't have total betochen in Hashem, so you don't have the qualification to get the release. And therefore, you, even the eyes of the Chazon Ish, can't be released.
Okay.
But we still have a machlokas of the border town and the income tax. If we have a Talmud Chacham who says, I don't need the security, I have faith in Hashem, then he would, if then, be released. We're paying, but according to Rabbi Yashiv, you still need to pay. Still have that machlokas of the border town and the income tax, but in the case where he says, I need it, then everyone agrees he pays, just different reasons.
That can
according to Rabbi Yashiv, he pays because he says, I need it. And according to Chazon Ish, he pays because he's not a Talmud Chacham in this facet. Of course, he's Talmud Chacham in the course of his Torah and his learning and his Pesik, Halacha and Hashkocha, and hadrocha and the giving kovers and all those other things. But in the to get the release of tax, you have to have a very high level of qualification. He doesn't quite get it there. Okay, not everyone can get to that high level.
Hello, hello, hello. Yeah. I want to just say something, and that is, we come back to my original point. How can he degrade himself from a Talmud Chochem to a not Talmud Chochem? Forget the money. That's making himself into, quote, a Russia.
Nah, Chas v'Shalom. I'm making himself into Russia. No, I'm making Russia. Okay, not in Russia. There's no such thing of he hasn't got Nemonis. He's a Messias. He's saying, I need the protection, got the protection, I have to have the protection. Fine, Messias. So it says the Hodas button. The only thing of hope that I don't believe him is when he makes him Russia. This is Chas v'Shalom, not a topic of Russia. And therefore, he's got Nemonis to say, Itaka don't have that spitz level of B'tochen, and not many people are afraid nowadays have that spitz level of B'tochen. And therefore, for this halacha, of you need that qualification, you don't get it. Okay?
I wouldn't analyze it like that, because the whole purpose of the protection, when someone testifies about himself, is to protect his status, not just is he a...
No, the Gemara says, Ein Odom Mason Atzma Russia. Dafka Russia. This is not nothing to do with Shus. He's not Russia, he's Taka believed, even if it's detrimental to him in other facets. But it's not Russia, he's believed. Yeah, okay, so let's move on.
According to this understanding of the Chazon Ish, what if someone was not a Talmud Chacham, but he's a big Baal Bitachon? And he says, I really don't need security systems. Okay. I totally trust it. Would he be putter?
It doesn't help. That doesn't help because you got many factors to make up the Talmud Chacham. We just know that this is also important. We don't know that this is the only thing. We don't have the time or it's not going to be even in the shir to define what the other factors are. But there is a whole discussion what else you need. But this seems to be, for the Chazon Ish, intrinsic thing which is necessary for this halacha as well as all the other qualifications. Let's move on. Now, question now arises. Let's say we got this Talmud Chacham who has qualified to be called a Talmud Chacham. Let's now discuss a Shaila which is out there in the street. Does a Talmud Chacham need to wear a mask during Corona time? Corona time, dinner markers are dinner, a lot goes out, everyone has to wear masks. Does a Talmud Chacham have that obligation to wear that mask, or does he have a dispensation? Just as he doesn't have to pay taxes, so therefore, because he's a Talmud Chacham pedestal, so therefore, he doesn't need to wear the mask either. Now, I just throw the question out in order to get initial reaction before we look into the actual Shaila itself. Okay.
What does the mask have to do with taxes?
Nothing. No, of course he doesn't. So what's your question? Speak out your question, Matis.
Well, if he doesn't wear the mask, he's a rotzeach, so obviously he's not allowed to do rotzeicha.
Okay. So the obvious question is, what's the question in the first place? It's apples and oranges. We're talking about obligation to pay money, dispensation, Talmud Chacham, high pedestal, all things he doesn't need. Okay, fine. Yeah. But here, mask, it's life and death. What are you talking about? It's nothing to do with dispensations and taxes and burdens. It's to do with life and death principles. So the question shouldn't even start. But it happens to be a question. And there happens to be, there's a paper out here which I've given here, which seems to have something to do with this. So let's analyze. What's even the question? Let's see what the question is.
He's obligated to protect himself. And that's the question.
No, forget about protecting himself. He's got to protect others.
Okay.
We've already established that he could be a rotzeach. Okay. But I'm saying, inconsistent with what we're talking about before, what his obligations are to himself, whether he can testify, whether he has to wear a mask for himself.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's already Malachim is moving it in a more logical expression of what we're dealing with. Okay, so let us see a very interesting question from one of the Rishonim, number 5 on your Ma'amar Kamos, the Rashbash. the Rashbash asked the following interesting question, and you will seem to be equally perplexed by his question. The Rashbash says the question, Shela, Hanisa b'mei deva, Mawakum Mawakum, in Tol le'otam olam. Is there any point in leaving town which is inflicted with a plague to go to a place where there's no plague? Is there any point of taking yourself out of danger? Because if it's written in the books upstairs of Rosh Hashanah that you're going to die, there's no point leaving the town and go to a safe place. And if it's written in the books that you're going to live, then there's no problem in staying in a plague town. So what's the point? What's the point of doing any hishtadlus, of leaving the town? Because either you're dead or you're alive. It's all told in Rosh Hashanah. So it doesn't help to move or to stay. It shouldn't be a problem. That is the last question.
Assumes basic hishtadlus.
What? Sorry?
The psak of Rosh Hashanah assumes basic hashtavas, meaning assuming we put in basic hashtavas, here's the din. But if someone lies down on train tracks and the train comes, okay, that's a whole new din.
We'll discuss that. So, of course, very good. Let me just quote the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, where he's getting it from, and then we'll discuss Tully's thing and see whether it's correct. Omer Rab Kraspadoi, famous statement from Rab Kraspadoi, Omer Rab Yochum, there's three sefers in Shemayim opened on Rosh Hashanah. Echad shel Rishoyim, Gemurim, ve'echad shel Sadikim, Gemurim. Those who are Rishoyim, those Sadikim, ve'echad shel Beinim, and those who are in the middle. Sadikim, Gemurim, nichtavim, nichtam, le'alt l'chaim. Sadikim, that's it. They're signed, sealed, immediately, for life. Rishoyim, Gemurim, nichtavim, nichtam, le'alt misa. Rishoyim, that's it. Misa, nothing to talk about. Beinim, those in the middle, Tulum Gomzin, Rosh Hashanah Ad Yom Kippur. They're up in the air until Yom Kippur. But even on Yom Kippur, we have clarity. Zohu Nisr L'chaim on Yom Kippur, it's decided. Life, then they get life written. Lo Zohu Nisr L'misr, written in our book. There's only really two books, and the Benim are in air and in Sophic till Yom Kippur. But after Yom Kippur, that's it. There's a book of life, there's a book of death, and there's nothing in between. So therefore, that's the question of the Rashbash. Everything's decided, signed and sealed. What's sealed? What's the difference between signed and sealed? Signed and sealed means that's it. It can't be changed. It can't be changed. Whatever you do, can't be changed. Whatever you do, can't be changed. Can't be changed. Okay? Says it can't be, said Rashbash. Says you're in a town that's full of plague. What's the point of leaving it? You die even if you leave. You live even if you stay. It can't be changed. So what's the point? Now, let's analyze Tully's question. What did Tully ask? No, Tully, what did he ask the question?
That Hashem expects, we have a chiyuv to do basic ashtavas, to take the shmoras nafshosechem, chai behem. We have that chiyuv. Hashem saying, if you're doing that chiyuv of basic ashtavas, I still have a gemar din based on what all the cheshbonos to go into that. That din v'cheshbon. The gzar din might be chayiv, might be misa, might be chayim. And that gzar din is presupposes I'm doing my ishtavas. But once a person is not putting an ishtavas and he jumps off a tall building, something like that, even if Hashem had planned for him to live another 40 years, all bets are off at that point.
So now, let us say, my question is, let's put Tully's question into my words over here. Is staying in a town that's full of plague the same as jumping off a tall building from... the Empire State Building, whatever. That's the one I remember. Is it the same? Is it the same or is it not the same?
It's not the same, but I would make the same argument even for...
But why is it not the same?
Because one's passive and one's active.
One's passive and one's active. Now...
But even passively staying in a dangerous matzav, I would argue, would still require one to take action.
Why?
Same concept, meaning a basic ishtadlus. My ishtadlus is not just passive ishtadlus. Active ishtadlus is also required.
Hold on. Say it a different way. You can say built into your approach is a requirement. In other words, when Hashem decides whether you're going to live or die, he's taking into account he's dealing with human beings. Human beings naturally are going to take ishtadlus to protect themselves or whatever.
Okay, very good. So now the Rav says, naturally we're taking shtadus. Okay.
So not just naturally, we're required to do so. It's a halacha.
Required, okay. So yeah, let's see if any of the achronim, when they come and answer this question, say like Reb Menachem, or say like Tzuli, they're saying slightly different. One saying naturally, one says required. Let us see what the achronim, how they answer the question of the Rashbash. Let's go first to the Mabit in Beis Elokim, his answer to this question. If you look at number six, Koshagosa al Medina Yudua, when Hashem made the Gezeirah on a specific country, he says, in this country, this year, we'll have plague. Chas v'shalom. And he says, you know, there's going to be a number of amount of people, specific people, specific, with specific names, who are going to die. In minyanim and numbers. Ha'inim noeg ki yesh hefesh b'nem. All those people who are on that list of dying in the book that's written in Shemayim, there's a difference between, there's two categories. Even though they're on the same list of death, there's two categories. Yesh heshben, ki kisasam himu choyven bedin la misa hachlotet ben yam tov mokom hu. Although there's a group where they're going to die, whether they stay in town, where the plague is, where they're not. It doesn't matter. That's what's written in the book. They're going to die. But there's another group. They have mechuyev to get misa, but only if they stay in town. But if they do leave town, then the decision to kill them will change, and they won't die. Why? Because everyone knows leaving your hometown is like golus. It's like golus. It's sar in itself, and we know that golus can be a kapora for misa, and therefore can get you off misa, as we know from Cain behevel that Cain got a kapora from his golus. Yeah. So we have two categories, both written in the book for death, but there's a death that can't be changed, and there's a death that says there's death, and there's something that can be an exchange of death. It's also death called golus. So if you stay in town, then you get the real death. If you leave town, you don't get death because you got a death in the form of golus because you left town. So therefore, if you're written in the death book, you should leave town. Who has to leave town? The people who are written in the book for death, they're the ones who need to leave town because they may be able to redeem their death with golus. But the people who are written in the book for life don't need to bother to leave town at all. That's what the Mabit is saying. What's the answer to leaving town? Because you may be in the death book. If the death book is, there's still a chance of getting life if you replace that death with golus. But if you're taken in the life book, enochanami, the life book, don't need to bother to leave town. That's the answer to the Mabit. Now, before we analyze a bit further, we'll see what the Radvaz answers, and then we'll compare the answers. First answer, my bit was the people in the death book, they should leave town. Okay, because they may redeem it. Answer the Radvaz is different. Number seven. I was asked a halakhic question. A woman, her first two husbands died. First two husbands that she married died. How? Megefa, from a plague. Question is she called a katlanit? Now, what's a katlanit? Katlanit says you shouldn't marry her if she's killed under her leadership. She has killed two husbands. Then the third one should not get married. It's also to marry katlanit, she's called. Okay. Obviously, she has a power of killing, not physically killing two husbands, but under her, when she's married, the husband died twice. Okay, not good sign. Cut the knit. The question is, if the first two husbands died out of plague, has she got that status? Teshuvah, says the Radvaz, sheish tam nochen lahakel. No, she hasn't. You can be mekel. But meismach misgefer. If they die because of the plague, you can be lenient. Yoser menofel beingra. You can be more lenient if they die because of the plague, rather if they just fall off the roof. Yeah? Because the guy fell off the roof. He didn't put himself into Sakona. He just happened to be all in the area and a wind blew him off. Okay, happened twice. She's a cut for it. Okay. Roman Bokum Shiashma gave her, but somebody who puts them and keeps himself in a town which is a plague, Machnis Atzmo, the Mokum Sakona. He's putting himself in Sakona. By keeping himself in the plague town, he's putting himself in Sakona. For Amy Samarkus Mazalisha, it's nothing to do with the muzzle of the wife. He killed himself. Like you said, like jumping off the Empire State Building, keeping yourself in the town of a plague is killing yourself, and it's got nothing to do with the wife. Therefore, it's similar thing we say in Chazal, and this answers the question, what about Rosh Hashanah? Yesh nisa b'lo mishpat, v'om shekivin shenitim rishus le'mashchis, ein mafkin ben sadik le'rosha. Once there's a megefa out there, once there's a plague out there, that means there's the malach amavis out there. Once there's a malach amavis out there, he makes no distinctions between sadik and rosha. If the sadik's out there, even though he doesn't deserve to die, but once there's a megefa out there, the malach amavis makes no difference, and he gets him as well. And that's why in Kaisor, Mitzrayim had to stay inside, because the malach amavis is outside. Even if they're sadikim and they're written in the book for life, don't put yourself in the Malach HaMavis path, because the Book of Life won't protect you. So we have two answers. Why do you have to leave town? The Marbit says, Rishonim have to leave towns. Those who are in the death book have to leave town, because may be able to redeem themselves. Tzaddikim don't. Tzaddikim don't need to leave town. The Rishonim need to leave town, because they can redeem their life of death with life by making their death happen in Godus. But Tzaddikim can stay in town. That's the Marbit. But the Ravaz answers, Tzaddikim also have to leave town, because if they don't leave town, they're putting themselves in the path of the Malach HaMavis, and Malach HaMavis, even if you're written in the Book of Life, will still get you. So therefore, you want to be out of the path of the Malach HaMavis, get out of town. That's the difference between Ravaz Marbit. Does leaving town apply by Rosha, or also applies by Tzaddik? Okay, so let's come back to our question. Does a Talmud Chochum have to wear a mask? Does a Talmud Chacham have to wear a mask? Does he has to do the Hishtadlus? Let's compare. Putting a mask on is like leaving town. Let's pair it like that. Don't put on a mask means you're staying in town where the plague is. Does the Talmud Chacham, has he got a right to stay in town, or can he have to leave town? Does he have to... Can he have no mask, or does he have to put the mask on? Let's put it in that comparison. What are we going to say based on the answers of when you have to leave town if there's a plague? Who does the Talmud Chacham have to pay according to the Marbit and according to the Ravaz? What would you say?
He has to put on a mask, because if and or he has to leave town, because once the Malach HaMavis is let loose, he's still in the town.
I'm not going to say, according to the Radvaz, that Tzaddik has to leave town, because otherwise he's in the path of the Malach HaMavis, then even a Talmud Chacham has to put on a mask, because otherwise he's in the path of the Malach HaMavis. But even if he's a Tzaddik, he has to leave town. So, but what's according to the Marbit? What would the Mabit say about the Talmud Chacham? Does he need to put a mask on?
No.
What about the effect that his wearing a mask is going to have on others?
Rega, not that stage yet.
That's a different issue.
That's that stage. What did Tully say?
But in terms of protecting himself, he would not be required.
Would not be required. The Rosha needs to leave town. The Tzaddik doesn't need to leave town. Talmud Chacham, Tzaddik. Tzaddik doesn't need to leave town. Doesn't need to put his mask on. So therefore, the question of whether Talmud Chacham needs to put a mask on or not should be dependent on whether you hold like the Mabit. Then he says no, because only Rishonim have to leave town, not Tzaddikim. And according to the Ravaz, no, Tzaddikim needs to leave town, because the Malach HaMavis is going to get Tzaddikim as well. Should be that Machlokas should be dependent on that. What did Eric ask?
Eric asked, no one knows the Cheshbon. Everyone must consider that he may have been in doubt.
Ah, very good. So we say that should be dependent on that Machlokas. But in fact, You haven't got it over there because we're running out of time. I purposely also left out what Moshe Feinstein says. Moshe Feinstein says like the following. He had a question like this. He's got a question, and this question will answer the mask business as well. The question, he says, look, you're telling me Talmud Chacham doesn't need to pay tax. Why? Because he's protected from Hashem, according to Rabbi Yashiv, he's got protection. Okay, protection from Hashem. Chazalish, because he's got betochen, he's got special protection. Okay, doesn't need the security. See, so I don't understand. Yaakov Avinu was a Talmud Chacham. Yeah? Yes. Yeah. More than Talmud Chacham. Sadiq Avos.
Yes.
Not a Mishulush. Yeah? And what did he do when Esav approached? What did he do?
A lot of histadlus.
So how does it fit with this halacha? How does it fit with this halacha that says Talmud Chacham doesn't need to bother with security because Hashem is looking after him? Look, no one can say, even nowadays, can say, I'm Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu did what type of histadlus he did? That's where Moshe Feinstein and Dibros Moshe's question. On the Gemara, on the Shulchan Aruch. So what does he answer? He answers like this. Like Eric said, very good, what Eric said. Said like this, look, as far as the community goes, they look at Yaakov Avinu, and nowadays they look at the Talmud Chacham, and say, he's Talmud Chacham. He's Tzaddik, and Taka, he's a different pedestal. He doesn't even need the protection, so we can't get him to pay. Fine. That's as far as the community's relationship to that Talmud Chacham. But as far as the Talmud Chacham in respect to himself, he has to be worried, Shema Yechet Gorim. Maybe he's done a sin. Maybe he's done an Aveda. Maybe he's not the qualification of being a Talmud Chacham, even though he apparently looks like one. Maybe he's done something which he doesn't realize that takes him down. And therefore, he has to take precautions as if he wasn't a Talmud Chacham. He has to look at himself as not being a Talmud Chacham. But the community have to look at him as being a Talmud Chacham. That's how Rav Moshe Feinstein answers. Memela, when the question comes, do you need to put the mask on? And we say, well, Talmud Chacham, only Rishonim need to put the mask on because only Rishonim need to be worried. Tzaddikim are okay. Yeah, fine. But who says I'm a tzaddik? Maybe a Shemachet Gnom, and therefore I have to worry that I'm not in that qualification, so I'm mechuyev to leave as well. That's how Rav Moshe Feinstein answered. So even you hold like the Mabit, you still have to put the mask on and you still have to leave town, because who says for sure that you are qualified for yourself to be a tzaddik? But Vada, the community, have to relate to as being a Talmud Chacham. Okay, so that is Rav Moshe Feinstein. Anyone wants to leave now because I'm going over time? But I just want to finish this off. I have a Chazanish. A Chazanish says the following. Now we get back to the Chazanish. But so the Chazanish says the following. What about this? We want to know, does he argue on this border town of Rav Yashiv or not? So he says the following halachic statement. Nearly, he says, I'm going to tell you something. It appears to me, halakhically, what you should be saying. It hasn't actually got the Chazanish. Number 9 is the Chazanish. I quote it out. He says, a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to lismuch al anes. He's not allowed to rely on anes. Not because anes won't happen, but it's a halacha that says you're not allowed to have anes. So what's the Chazanish saying in those words? Chazanish is saying the following. Talmud Chacham, you're protected. And you got special dispensations, the Seder. But you have to keep all the Tariq mitzvahs. One of the Tariq mitzvahs, one of the hanhogas of how the world works, is lo lismuch al anes. It's an issa to be sumach al anes. So even though you're Talmud Chacham, you can't do isur, yeah? So therefore, you can't do something which apparently looks like you're being sumach al anes. So therefore, if everyone would interpret what you're doing as being sumach al anes, you're not allowed to do it, because then you're over an isur. So even if you're qualified to get protection, and you will get protection, but you're not allowed to do an action which looks like you're being sumach al anes. Memeda, he says, if you have a whole town that's only Talmud Chacham, and there's no one who's not a Talmud Chacham, meaning that everyone is potter from paying for security, which means there's not going to be security. That means this town is relying on the nace. They're not allowed to rely on this. So the town has to build a wall over there, not because they need it, because they're, otherwise they're doing an issa of being so much on this, says the Chazanish. Okay. So it comes out, like Menachem is saying, a Talmud Chochem, a Tzaddik, he says, and therefore that's the Chazanish says that's the reason why Yaakov Avinu also sent his shtadlis to Esav. Not because maybe he felt that he wouldn't get the protection. It's because it's also to be so much on this. He gives a different answer from Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein says he can't be sure. He can't be sure. Maybe he's not a tzaddik. Says the Rav Chazanish, no, he can't be sure he's a tzaddik. He's going to be protected. But he can't do his surim. He can't be so much on this. So he has to do the shtadlis. When the shtadlis is out there, if he doesn't do it, it'll be a nes. So he's not allowed to do it as a surim. Different way of looking at it from a Moshe Feinstein. Can't do so. So now, according to the Chazanish, I put it out to you like this. According to the Chazanish, you are allowed to consider yourself a Talmud Chacham. If you think and you can qualify, you're allowed to say yourself a Talmud Chacham. It's not like a Moshe that says you have to be worried. You're allowed to say a Talmud Chacham. Just what you can't do, you can't be Semech HaNes. Is by not putting on a mask, is that called being Semech HaNes, or is not called being Semech HaNes? That's my question, according to the Chazanish.
That's not Semech HaNes. It's a very small percentage. You know, at least as of now, you never know the future, but as of now, it still seems to be a small percentage of people that are catching the virus relative to the population. So that doesn't sound like a Semech HaNes issue.
So the question is, how do you define when a scenario is called Semech HaNes? And when, how do you define whether a scenario is called you're not so mechanized? Because according to Chazanish, the only problem is not to worry about whether you're tzaddik, you can consider yourself a tzaddik. That's the problem is to be so mechanized. So we have to define, don't do things on method. Is putting taking off a mask, is that called being so mechanized? Let us see, which is on your paper, the last Mar Mokum tonight. Last Mar Mokum tonight will be, which is number 10, and that's where we're going to finish off. Number 10, besides Matzis' points, which you're going to say right at the end. It's brought down in the Sefer of one of the Sefer of Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, a discussion, there was a Talmud Chochem or Avreich came to us from Rav Shach Zatzal at the time of when there was all the rockets coming down from Iraq, at the time of the Iraq war, I think that's what it's talking about. And he was asking, does he have to leave town? Does he have to leave town? We'll tackle Eric's question in a moment. Let's just read what Rav Shach says. Rav Shach, does he have to leave town? Because the rockets are coming down. Should he leave Eretz Yisrael? Rockets coming down from Iraq. It's dangerous. Dangerous. Should he leave town? Heshev Moron. So the Rav Shach answered, Ish eini yochel laftiach shlo yikol kol ason upega b'sheh k'shem she'ish eini yochel yos betuch shebechutzo et skola betuch. A person can't be secure that nothing can happen to him, just as he can't be secure that in Chutz Arts is a better place and safer place. Yosef Meshav Ezer, who says Chutz Arts is safer than Eretz Yisrael? Yehudi ein tzorch lohashiv cheshbonus, hechem matzav nesha betuch Yosef. A Jew doesn't have to, shouldn't really make decisions, cheshbonot, of where is a more safe place. Ha'imela odom mosa rabbi adagoshem. Memela, a person is in the hands of God. If you're supposed to die, you'll die in this fashion, die in that fashion. Every single second of life, of breath, you're dependent on Hashem's. It's not a place of worry. I'm more worried. This is more musukan. Don't come up with imaginary security that in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz Arutz, it's safer. It's imaginary. Who says it's safer? Okay, that's not your cheshbon. Not how a Jew shouldn't feel. He's in the hands of Hashem. I have a life, death, that's it. Your imaginary security here, safer, that's nothing. Elamai, what? Yesh kan sheila halachtik. He's got a halachic sheila. Im netsha matzav kamokam sukonam mamish. Is it called Mamish Sukona? If it's Mamish Sukona, then it's called being Semech HaNes. And that's a halachic question. Is every person of Eretz Israel considered a much of Sakona Gadola, Mamoshes, physical, Amachayas Lukum, and the Sakona says, Mamish Sakona Gadola says, you have to get up and leave. So therefore, you have to leave up again. But there are cases, Shal Sakona Vadaiga. There are cases, yeah, there are. There's Sakona out there, there's worry out there. V'soch l'spala l'kodesh b'chum. You have to daven to Hashem. Daven to Hashem. But it's not Sakona gedola mamashes, which is require ein semach anes and leave. It's not like that. It's, yeah, there's a certain Sakona out there which requires extra tefillas. Extra tefillas. But it's not a halacha which reach a halachic stage of ein semach anes. Yeah? And therefore, he says, the time of our Iraqi war, Ladato was a mock. It's not a case of Sakona Gadola, where Halacha says, Ein so machanes, leave, go to Kutsaris. It's not such a case. Find a better place. It's not saying that. It's a place, a case of worry, more musukan out there. It's a place for tefillas. But there's no Halacha which says, Ein so machanes in such a case. So we see from Rav Shach, definition of Ein so machanes is when you're on the mats of a Sakona Mamoshes. Gedola, that's it. This is Apiateva. This is the worst place to be. This is really high percentage of danger. Okay, Halacha says leave. Otherwise, if you don't, ain't so mechalanes. That's the otherwise, not. It's not a case. So putting that criteria back into our Shaila is not wearing the mask. Is it much worse than the Iraqi bombs at the time of the war, the Dillon and all that, where he said it's not Ein Soma Chanes to stay in Etzel, or is it the same type of thing? It's more Masukan, we have to daven more, have put more Shtadlis in, but it's not so Kona Gadola to say if you don't wear a mask, you're Soma Chanes if you're not wearing a mask. What's going to be the answer?
It might depend on whether a person's elderly or has underlying symptoms.
Yeah. It has to be dependent on a few factors. Are you a person, what type of age you are? Who are the people you're mixing with? How much of activity do you have around you? Yeah, it all depends on that. Whether you're putting yourself now mamish into a high percentage area where it's called a course of sakonata for a person who's musukan, then that's called, you're not allowed to do such a thing. But if not, it's not. So according to that, not Rav Moshe Feinstein will be coming out. What will be the answer according to the Chazon Ish? Are you mechuyev to a Talmud Chacham to put on a mask or not? A general case.
If he's young and you know, then probably no. And if he's and healthy, and if he's sick or elderly, then probably yes.
So if he's young and he's putting then lechuyev not. And if he's a sick oldie person, but there's no one around for 5 miles, and he's in the country. So therefore, also Bobby doesn't need to put it on. So he doesn't need to put it on because it's not Sakona Gadola. If it's this Talmud Chacham, if he's Talmud Chacham, if he can define himself as Talmud Chacham in such a case, to get that, don't need to do his status. I just mustn't do Ein So Machanes. This is not Ein So Machanes. Fine. So it should come out, a machlokas from Moshe Feinstein and Chazon Ish. Moshe Feinstein says, you always have to worry, you're not kratzer, that's not being a tzaddik. So you always have to do hishtadlis, because maybe you're not a tzaddik. Tzaddik doesn't, but you always have to worry, you're not. So you always have to do hishtadlis, you always have to put the mask on. But as according to the Chazon Ish, you can define yourself as a tzaddik. And as long as you're not so machlokas, which is a lot of the times with the mask, is not so machlokas, you don't need to put the mask. That's what it should come out. But the final words, before we look at Eric's question, which I'm going to ask you to read to me, the Eric's question, is for what Mattis said. What did Mattis say? He says, all this Torah is very good. For what? Says Mattis, you want to repeat what you said?
He's a rotzeach.
Yeah. All this good is as far as protecting yourself. That's the Talmud Chacham, mechuyev to protect himself, put the mask to look after himself. Okay, so we have a discussion. Can he serve a chalnes? Does he have to do his shtadlis? Rav Moshe Feinstein, Chazon Ish, Vey. But it's not just an issue of looking after yourself. There's an issue of, are you going to be damaging anybody else? The mask is not just all the protection for you. It's also to make sure that you're not damaging anybody else. Damaging anybody else. Not, it doesn't matter who you are. Tzaddik, Rosha, Talmud Chacham, Chazon Ish, Moshe Feinstein. There's no way that you're allowed to do thing which could damage someone's house. Even a soft seker is not allowed to maybe damage somebody else. So Ein Hakhanami is Hilchus, looking after yourself. We just said, you don't need to, yeah, it's a discussion in a town of plague. Do you need to leave or not? Because that's just a discussion for yourself. But if we're talking about whether you're allowed to damage somebody else, and the mask is also to protect other people from you, that's a different discussion. Even a Svet Seika, you're not allowed to take into consideration when you're talking about damaging somebody else. And therefore, the halacha says, you're mechoyev to put on a mask because it's not just concerning you, which therefore may be different, but it's concerning other people. And therefore, you're going to have to put that mask on, lukula alma, in such a case. So that's where we're finishing tonight. And all my Talmud Chachamim in front of me, I wish you a wonderful Chag Sameach. As I said, I'm giving shirim next week on Zoom. There's no going to be a shir in the sukkah of Yossi this year because of the matziv. But on Zoom, I'm giving every day of Chol HaMoed. I'll send out the details to Tuli. Of 12 noon, I'm giving a halachic shir of 12 noon. 12:20 every day of Chol HaMoed. I'm giving a halachic shir and Hilchos Sukkah, nothing to do with Kosher Mishpat, except for Thursday Chol HaMoed, where on 12 o'clock noon on Thursday Chol HaMoed, I'll be doing a halachic Kosher Mishpat Sukkah Shaila. So if you ever want to pop in, you don't have to go to, it's not connected to shirim. Everyone is available to enjoy the shirim or not to enjoy shirim, enjoy their own Simchas Yontif or have extra Simchas Yontif with any of the stoics available for them if they want. Have a wonderful Chag Sameach and Siyat Yisrael. What was Eric's question? I did stop Eric. Can you repeat, show me what Eric's question was?
The first thing he said was it would be a 100% miracle if others would not use the tzaddik as an excuse for themselves.
Okay. He's worried about the klal learning from his mistakes. Okay. What's the next question?
Second one was Matzis's point about endangering others.
Okay. So already covered Matzis's thing about endangering else. Yeah. Are people going to learn from your deeds? You have to take that in consideration. Depends what type of person. Are you a person who has a great influence on people? Or you're one of the Lamed Vovniks. If you're one of the Lamed Vovniks, no one really thinks you're a tzaddik in the first place. So then you're not going to be learned from in any case in that situation. So, okay, very good points from Eric. Have a Chag Sameach, Siyat Yisrael. Sorry, went over time. I missed you. I wanted to speak to you and I enjoyed being with you. Lovely seeing your faces.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Chag Sameach.